If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon. Hello and welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
Why do I always say it like I'm going to, you know, stab you with something? And I'm your host, Brendan. Ha-ha! I wouldn't actually stab you with something. No, I wouldn't. He's like, why did you have to think about that? So you're drinking a beer. How's your beer? Secret Cove Brewing Company?
Yeah, Secret Cove. Some more of your East Coast beer.
Newfoundland beer.
This is an East Coast IPA by Secret Cove Brewing Company. And it smells wonderful.
Let me smell your can. Let me smell your can, Richard.
I don't know if you want to smell my can.
Oh, my gosh.
I've had some wicked gas.
Wicked gas. That's not the can I'm talking about. I don't want to smell your gas can. Do you have a gas can? Or a gassy can? Oh, yes. Nothing like bottom jokes to liven up the middle-aged man talk. I'm going to... Hold on. It's an IPA, right?
Yes.
Oh, Tuckamore. East Coast IPA. Wow. I'm not a big IPA guy, but that is...
Yeah, it's very... It's kind of very floral hops.
Wow. I find it really amazing how many amazing beers are now in my home province since I left 20 years ago. It's kind of unfair.
There's a correlation there.
There's a correlation. He's gone! Bring out the good stuff! No, but really, when I was 19 and I could drink for the first time, in Newfoundland we had Kitty Bitty, which is still there. Oh, and they're the ones that made the Bakeuple one you love that you call fantastic. Yep. So Kitty Bitty is kind of the great old local brewery that's been there for decades, not centuries. But aside from them, there wasn't anything else. That was it. It was the big boys, like the Molsons, the Labatts. But there wasn't anything else for little guys selling.
So the little guys... What I remember was the big one, the fancy one was Keith's.
Oh, New Brunswick, yeah.
Yeah. Keith's, and that's what everyone thought an IPA was until we actually got real IPAs. It's like, oh, it's just a lager.
Is it IPA, Keith's?
Yes, it's supposed to be an IPA. That's the whole point. Is that.
Oh, I always just thought, I only ever drank it in pitchers generally.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a lager because it kind of was... Lager-esque?
It is a lager. It doesn't have... Like, this is an IP... Like, I have heard that if you actually brew it based on the original recipe, like I said, like I've been doing homebrewing, that sort of stuff, that...
You've been doing a lot of homebrewing for many years.
Yes, I have not so much lately, but I...
We should do a Stein again. A German Stein. Where you heat up the stones and you put them in.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're saying...
The beer tasted like cabbage. Boiled cabbage.
Is it the rocks, dirty rocks you're using?
So
remember the dog rock that went in there.
Anyways, there's a brewer who went and analyzed, got his hands on a copy of the original notes from
Alexander Keith himself.
Yeah, it was more of a journal rather than a recipe, but it said it mentioned that the amounts of hops, the amounts of barley, and that sort of stuff that went in,
right.
And, yeah, it's sort of like, they used a lot of hops. They probably didn't do the flavor hops, though. It was probably all went into the boil. But the purpose of the hops is the hops act as a preservative for the beer.
Oh, of course, the traditional Alexander Keith going way back would be...
It was ship beer.
Right.
That was the whole point of it. Actually, that's what IPA was. IPA was beer that was brewed mostly in England... To send out on the British sailing ships going to trade in India.
So it was basically beer to get you from England all the way around the Horn of Africa.
Yes.
To India.
Well, not to drink on the way, but to be...
To trade for money. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so it was, and the idea was, it was supposed to be watered down at the other end. So it was done like port.
Oh, okay.
So, but whereas port is actually concentrated.
Right.
This was just, it was brewed strong. Strong high alcohol, and they had discovered hops had a preservative effect on beer. Strictly speaking, at the time, if you brewed it without hops, it was a beer. And if you brewed it with hops, it was an ale.
Okay, neat.
So that was the difference between beer and ale originally.
So ale didn't have hops.
No, beer didn't have hops.
Beer didn't have hops. But now an IPA is a beer and it has hops.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Basically, beer's become anything brewed with barley, pretty much.
Anything that's not liquor or cider. Because there's... Yeah. Well, okay, so a mead is not beer, strictly speaking.
No, a mead's not beer.
It's good, though.
Well, and some of these distinctions actually came about by...
Ding!
Because of
distinction
tax laws.
Ding!
Yeah.
You and your dinging on your phone. So you say, oh, it's work, I'm on call.
I'm not on call right now.
I work for a big company. I'm just...
I will be on call next Friday, though.
You're just playing, like, one of those, like, those games. Pokemon Goat. Farmville. What's popular now for cell phone games? I have no idea. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. The only one that I actually ever played when it was popular was Pokemon Go for a little bit.
Pokemon Goat. All the Pokemons are goats. You're collecting different kinds of goats. I think they could rebrand it pretty easily. They actually already have. There are multiple versions now of reskinned Pokemon Goat. People hate it when I call it Pokemon Goat. There's no T. It's Go. No, it's Pokemon Goat. I had an argument with someone who got angry at work about this. They couldn't, like, tell that I was pulling their leg.
Well, you should have said, there's no T, so it's Pokemon Goa?
Goa?
Because you take the T off Goat, and it's not Go.
It depends what accent you have. Pokemon Got? Got Pokemon? Pokemon? You know Pokemon means pocket monster in Japanese?
Yes.
Which sounds fine in Japanese and sounds really pervy in English.
Gotta collect them all.
Gotta collect them all. These ones take batteries. Well, that's enough Willy jokes. We've had our bottom Willy jokes. So tonight's topic. Aliens.
Aliens?
I read yet another article about some Area 51 guy who on his deathbed said there's actually aliens and flying saucers and the U.S. government has all kinds of things and they're keeping it a secret. So on his deathbed. But there's a number of people who've come forward and said, I've seen this and that. I'm not sure what it was. Joe Rogan said a few of them on his podcast over the years. And then some of them are fairly credible because it's like they had some kind of technology. I didn't know what it was. And it was a power generator, and it was different, and it was like nothing else. And I saw flying saucers when I first got there in the, you know, 60s or 70s. The guy thought they were actual, like, experimental aircraft. Not alien, just something that the Air Force had cooked up. And then, you know, it became clear that, oh, there's actually aliens have crash landed. The government's found stuff. Or they found stuff buried in archaeological sites, as in some of the alien stuff that's here is, like, tens of thousands of years old. Which I guess is... plausible.
Have you been reading Ancient Origins?
Oh, there's that whole terrible thing. The thing with aliens, I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson who was saying that, you know, if they're that advanced, you could travel through the stars and get here, you know, why would people be interested in us? And I kind of disagree with him on that point, that if he was the one that made that, because we're interested in other cultures on Earth. We're sending things into space and trying to go to Mars, but if you could actually meaningfully travel between the stars, even with our own galaxy, it's more anthropology. It's, hey, look, life, how did that work out? Because you don't have any need for commodities at that point, because you've probably figured out quantum physics completely, and you can just make whatever you need from, you know, magical technology. Because it would be magical by our, you know,
well,
perception.
Well, that's, you know, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. Who said that? What's that from? That's like a quote I've heard so many times.
That is famous science fiction writer. Don't think it was Isaac Asimov, but maybe.
No, it wasn't Asimov, because he was all over robots and AI and stuff.
Yeah, no, he wrote some sociological stuff, too.
I suppose. It could have been him.
Who
was it?
There was someone else, too, about that time. Not Andre Norton. It's somewhere in that era of
science fiction and speculative fiction. Yeah. I
kind
of feel like if you really wanted to be a successful speculative fiction writer or science fiction writer, you could just like rip off like Lord of the Rings but put it in space. Done. Or you could rip off, what's that one everyone likes with the swords, the sword chair? Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No. Yes. I've never seen it. But... Can you just like rip that off and just put it in space? And it'd be like, oh, look, a successful series. It works.
I was going to say, that's kind of partly, not totally, but some of, you know, you kind of had that kind of, some of the elements of that were in Firefly.
Firefly was a Western.
Yes, it was a Chinese Western, yes.
Futuristic, somewhat Chinese Western.
Yes, actually, I loved Firefly for the...
Firefly!
For the fact that they went and took the demographics of today and extrapolated it. Which is why Mandarin was one of the dominant languages.
Yeah, they'd always swear in Mandarin.
Yeah.
Which would, I guess, get by the censors. Because, we don't know what that is. Oh, it's a Chinese word. Okay. I actually work with a Chinese lady who sometimes gets frustrated at her desk and you hear her swearing at her computer. She's a developer like me. And you'll hear her swearing at her desk. And I'm like, I know what that word means. Because like another person I work with, they're like, she's always swearing. And this guy taught me what all the Chinese swear words are. So I can hear her at her desk. And she doesn't know that I know she's swearing.
Yeah.
It's funny. Where was I going with that?
Nowhere. I have no idea. I know that there's been...
Yes, Chinese.
I know that there has been, the U.S. has released a bunch of their UFO sighting documents and that sort of stuff to the public. They've been declassified. And basically, they're just reports of unidentified flying objects. There's no attribution. Because if there's attribution, things, once you identify it as aliens, it's no longer unidentified.
That's funny. The thing is, though, and I've seen, I think Joe Rogan said some of this in his podcast, had the, the black cube in a clear sphere or a clear cube in a black sphere inside of it? Whatever it is, there's different things that pilots have actually, the U.S., like doing, like, maneuvers or training, they've actually seen, like, with their eyes, not just on their actual, like, because technology could see a thing and think it's something else, but they've actually seen some of their own eyes, some of them. And the thing with those guys, pilots, I don't know what they have to gain by saying, oh, we saw a thing, it's been declassified. It's a this. But I kind of wonder, could that be some kind of classified drone that they saw, that they wanted to see if those planes could actually see it?
It's possible. Like, a lot of the early UFOs were...
Experimental aircraft.
Or... weather balloons.
Or there were hoaxes. Did you see that one? It was really funny. I saw some special about UFO hoaxes. And there was one, I forget where it was in the U.S., it was in the 90s. And it was five or seven amateur pilots laid out a flight plan to fly around the city. You know, and this plan, it was all above board. And they had great big lights on their little Cessnas, and they flew in perfect formation. And they picked a night that was really dark and clear, and they're high enough up, it looked like this enormous, like multiple football fields, huge spaceship with all these lights, this huge ship going around, and people were freaking out. And no, there was an actual flight plan. It was just night flying in formation. They did it kind of as a prank. That's what people would do. But then subsequently, I think it was on Fox, they had a alien encounters. They had always like these, footage and videos, and they had a lot of this one. I thought, there's already been like a documentary showing this one was
a hoax. It's like crop circles.
Yeah, how do those actually happen?
Well, the natural ones happen from either just over-fertilization. So when you're spreading fertilizer, if you turn around in a certain spot, you end up putting more extra fertilizer down there in that area. And as the wheat grows, it's over-fertilized, so it grows too heavy, and it falls down.
That's funny.
Those are the naturally occurring ones. Or you can also get little tornadic cells, like basically dust devils. They'll sometimes kind of flatten an area. The rest of them, there's actually a club. You know how almost all these happen in the UK? There's a few in the States. There's actually a club in the UK that goes around making them.
Ah, that's such a British thing to do. Get some pines, go out to the cornfield.
So they get planks and they strap them to their feet with ropes. They stick a rope in the middle and they have it all plotted out ahead of time, and they trample it down, and they basically start in the middle, and so that get this nice even
precision.
Yes.
which is all good fun, as long as you own the fields.
And they do it in sort of Fibonacci sequences and stuff like that, mathematical things, and because it's all good fun, because you're pulling a fast one on these rubes who are believing it. Yeah, these gullible guys.
You know, gullible is actually spelled with a silent K at the front, like the word knife. It is.
Kagullible.
Kagullible? Yeah, that's the old Scandinavian kagullable. Mm-hmm. Like the Scandinavian word for knife is canoe, which is true. That's actually that's the best way to lie with a bit of truth in there. Yes. Anyway, so the whole alien thing. If there was a joke in, I think it was one of the Star Trek series years ago, they were landing on some like less developed planet because they had to. It was a rescue mission. I don't know what it was. And they're like, oh, where do we land? Oh, we want to land in a lowly populated area, you know, outside of major cities, you know, where, you know, but not too far from a town where we have to go. And it's like, so that's why aliens always land in the middle of nowhere and abduct Hicks, because no one else sees you. But the thing with the crop circles I find kind of funny is that we kind of know where it happens, or it happens in some of the same fields year after year. And in the last 10 years, cameras and solar-powered cameras and stuff have been very widely available. How come no one set up security footage just to watch this happen? Because there's enough people that care enough and have the money to do it.
I'd have to look. I haven't looked into them in like probably 15, 20 years to see if it's still if they're still happening. Because, yes, okay, you're right. You know, someone could put up... And this is actually one of these things. You're talking about, you know, getting into the whole...
UFOs,
aliens, crop circles. You're getting close to cryptozoology as well.
Cryptozoology?
Bigfoot, Nessie.
Well, that's like the guy who's often on Joe Rogan's show. Is it Forrest Gallant? He's from Tanzania originally. And what he does is he travels the world trying to find actually extinct species that may not be extinct. So,
like the Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah, he was one of the Tasmanian tiger guys, I think, were involved.
Not Tasmanian tiger, Tasmanian wolf.
I think there's a Tasmanian tiger thing, too, that you're looking for, talking about. In any case, yeah, he basically travels around, and he's actually found a number of species. He's quite noteworthy, but he's actually found different things and done different
I think they might searches. Be the same animal, because it's a canid, so it looks, but it's got stripes like a tiger.
I can't remember if he found that one. That's what he's potentially going to be looking for. But in any case, there are lots of rare animals. I remember when I was in New Zealand, I was talking to, I think it was our Maori guy on the North Island, but he was talking about how there's really almost no one on the South Island for the amount of land there is. And there's a lot of like fjords that are mountain locked from the rest of the island just because they're big fjords that come in. So the famous one, Milford Sound, or Sounds really, but Milford Sound, there's a tunnel that I've driven through that was dug by hand. It's 3/4 mile long. You know, and you can see the actual tool marks of people, you know, pickaxing to make this tunnel. So the thing is that in one of these sounds, they found a bird they thought was extinct. It was some, and they found like a strong colony of them when I think it was surveyors were down. Oh, this kind of bird pictures. What is that? And someone, however they connected, like, wait a minute, it's actually still alive, not extinct. So
yeah, there's something in the news just recently of the first photograph of a bird that had been thought to be extinct for 180 years, and they actually have photographic evidence that it's still alive, and that was just
where was it?
I don't remember.
Oh yeah, Forrest Gallant. He's the guy that found that turtle, that rare Galapagos turtle, and they rescued it from a volcanic. Galapagos Island, and then brought it because it was trapped in a little part of the island. It couldn't go anywhere else. And they rescued it and then brought it back to health. And they're going to bring it back to the island or near it or something. But in any case, the whole problem with that kind of stuff with like the big crazy animals. I don't know. I mean, the dragon one is interesting. The theory about dragons, because there's a lot of writings in different cultures around the world that reference dragons, and they're roughly in the same larger time frame of centuries. So some people wonder, was there some sort of species of bigger bird? And because birds have hollow bones, they don't fossilize as well. So that's why we don't have a fossil of it. And of course, human beings are good at killing things. So did we actually kill? And if you look at the eagle, the big eagle in New Zealand, which we know exists, they have fossils, they have a lot of evidence for it.
Well, they've got written accounts of it from the British.
Right. It was mostly on its way out by then, but
it's the eagle that,
like a 20-foot wingspan, 25, yeah, for the biggest ones.
Is it the Rock? It's some people think it's the eagle that also species that,
Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings eagles.
Yeah. They're like the Lord of the Rings eagles, but it was, the Rock is the, Greek mythology, the giant eagles and giant birds and.
Right. So the thing is that we know that eagle existed in New Zealand.
What is it called?
And it preyed on the moa, which was like a great big ostrich emu type bird, but human beings also preyed on the moa. And once the moa was extinct, the eagles died out. They couldn't get enough protein. So back to aliens. I part of me kind of wants to believe in all these things. So they're kind of amazing and imaginative. But what do you think about aliens? Do you think we've had aliens come yet, Richard? You're a devout Catholic. What's the religious take on aliens? The Bible doesn't say there aren't aliens.
The Bible actually mentions something which maybe referred, which you know, I kind of think, you know, kind of, it mentions in Genesis, it mentions the giants who are the descendants of the heroes of old.
Right.
And that's who Cain, the question of, you know, Adam and Eve, you had Cain and Abel. Who did Cain marry?
Well, I mean, they were very misogynistic, so I imagine women didn't matter much. The begots being desire in Genesis.
No, well, the question is not as in what was their name, but you have Adam and Eve, they have Cain and Abel.
Who do they intermingle with?
Yes. And there has been some, you know, speculation. Oh, but one theory is because it mentions the when it talks about Noah, that, you know, they intermarried, that man intermarried with, you know,
the fallen angels.
Yeah, well, who were the ancestors of the human. I'm like, it's talking about the Neanderthals,
bigger, stronger giants,
and probably Denisovians, and that's probably also the same place where our mythology around elves and that sort of stuff, other humanoids, comes from. Is because there was other humanoids that we interacted with.
The other Neanderthal-like species.
Well, there's the Neanderthals, there's the Denisovians. There's about five that we know of. And then from genetic imprints, we know that there's at least two others that humans interbred with.
Yeah, so I mean, there's...
And these are all close enough that we could interbreed with them.
Right, they're all kind of the same. We're all kind of the same species, kind of. We share enough similar chromosomes, yeah, and DNA that we could, yeah.
And that's, you know, the Neanderthals ended up north, and where pale skin and that sort of stuff was genetically...
Like the Scandinavians.
Yes. And, you know, as people moved north, they ran into... and they intermingled and interbred.
We still do. There's one thing you can trust human beings to do, and that's to have sex. But back
with
to aliens.
Anything and...
With anything and everything.
Yes, and so yes, if there was
aliens... Why does the vacuum cleaner smell funny?
And if, which means that if humanity ran into aliens, one of the questions would be, can we have sex with them? And maybe that's why aliens do not reveal themselves to us.
That is the best reason why aliens, if they exist, haven't revealed themselves to us, because human beings try to have sex with literally everything they encounter. And the aliens are like, no. That's a good place to end. Human beings are all pervs. Closing my return.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Nothing's resolved. We didn't determine if aliens were real. Is the U.S. government lying to us? Nope. Just,
We're not going to resolve that in, like, 20 minutes.
Wouldn't that be a great question for, like, this guy in his deathbed who's like, aliens are real, Area 51. So did anyone have sex with the alien? Was the alien good at sex? Do you think aliens would be good at sex, Richard? Good night, everybody. They're very advanced. Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.